case some of you weren't here this morning, our pastor, Brother Al, is in Romania, teaching at Emmanuel Seminary there, along with Miss Kim and Robert Williams, doing some teaching. So just continue to pray for them. Brother Al was not 100% physically before he left, so I know he would definitely appreciate your prayers. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can go ahead and start turning there. We do have a Lord's Supper service tonight. I walked in carrying this baseball, I'll get to in a minute, and I've already had three or four people say, hey, that's kind of cool, but that's nothing compared to a starter's gun. And I was like, you bet. So thanks, Al Cooper, for making it impossible for anybody to follow you. Appreciate that. He was good this morning. But I do want to say from the outset, though, we're going to close a little bit differently tonight, maybe than what we normally do. And so if you've been at Lakeview for a while, we have a benevolent offering that we usually take up at the end of the service in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. And we're still going to take that offering tonight. It's just going to be done a little bit different. So I want to go ahead and tell you right now out of the chute. Our benevolence ministry, many of you, maybe a lot of you, really don't know the full scope of what all our benevolence ministry does. I don't even know the full scope of everything our benevolence ministry does, which I think is probably the purpose, right, of that ministry, helping people. But every Monday morning, and many of you have helped out with this, but every Monday morning we have a food pantry where we feed hundreds of people. Every Monday morning, we roll through this campus, and there are people in the lobby that are praying with people, sharing the gospel with people, loading up food for people. We also have, on any given day, working in the office, on any given day, people will just come in from off the street that need help with certain things. And our benevolence ministry, it has an incredible team of people that serve those people in need. And so those offerings, I was talking with Brother Judge, and those offerings do a lot to help with those. So we will be taking that up at the end, but we're not going to pass the plate. We're going to leave tonight at the end, kind of in a spirit of prayer, in a spirit of worship, and the ushers will be at the back doors and in the lobby. So if you came prepared to give for that tonight, that's how we're going to do it. But I want to go ahead and tell you from the outset, A, before I forgot, and B, so there wouldn't be too much confusion at the end. Also, to let you know, if you stand up and grab the hand of the person next to you, I hope it's your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend, because we will not be closing that way tonight either. So go ahead and give you a heads up on that, too. All you guys who strategically placed yourself, come back next Sunday. All right, so tell me I'm lying, Lonnie. All right, so anyway, so tonight we are talking about the Lord's Supper, right, and how the Lord's Supper is a time. Now, the thing I've always thought about the Lord's Supper, and we see the teaching in Scripture about the Lord's Supper, is that it's basic, but it's not simple, right? The Lord's Supper is basic, but it's not simple. There's a lot of things in life that can illustrate that for us. For example, I see this piano over here, right? I sit over on this side of the worship center, so I get to see Chad do his thing. And so if I sit down at this thing, I'm like, hey, Chad, how does this thing work? Well, automatically, I know there's three pedals, right? So we got clutch, brake, and gas, right? Yep. All the older people laugh, the younger people are like, oh. All right, so anyway, you got clutch, brake, gas. And Chad says, all right, well, look, all you got to do is just sit down and just match the keys, and it makes a sound, right? That's about as basic as it gets. Is that pretty much how this thing works, Chad? Yeah. But anybody besides me want to go ahead and agree that that's not simple, like what he does, right? I mean, I can bang these keys, but be Lord, y'all be like, what preschooler is tearing out the piano? They're like, oh, it's Ginger's preschooler. But anyway, so we can say that, like, this piano is basic, right, in its essence, but it's not simple. Basketball playoffs are going on right now, right? And so if you were to say, hey, Greg, how does basketball work? Say we have somebody visiting that never played basketball before. You know, I'm like, well, it's pretty basic, right? You have a ball, and you try to get the ball in the hoop. And every time you do that, you get points. And when time expires, if your team has more points than the other team, you win. I mean, that's about as basic as it gets. But anybody who's ever tried to play basketball or ever watched basketball, you can know, like, it's not simple, right? There's a lot of complexity to it. There's a lot of things going on, right? I think about marriage, right? Marriage is basic, right? A man and a woman commit to spend the rest of their life together. Anybody in here that's married willing to go ahead and agree with me that while that's basic, marriage is not simple? Yes, all right, yeah. I never knew how selfish I was until I got married, yeah. We have all of these elements in life that are basic, but they're not simple. I mean, when you think about the Lord's table,
it's basic. There's two elements, right? There's bread and there's the cup. You know, it's not this massive, time-consuming, five-course meal, you know, that takes forever to prepare it or to, you know, to take it. But you and I can both agree tonight that while it is very basic as far as the elements go, there's nothing simple about the Lord's Supper at all. There's nothing simple about what it represents. There's nothing simple about what it means for us as believers. And that's what I want to look at tonight, right, is that the Lord's Supper is a time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first thing that we see is that it's a time to remember. Yeah, it is a time to remember. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, right, that for you and I as believers, the Lord's Supper is a time to remember. If you go all the way back to the history of Israel in the book of Exodus, we see that the Passover was established there when they were in Egypt, the last plague before they were dismissed, before they left out of Egypt. And God designed that to be a celebration that they did every year. It was a celebration that they did every year to remember how the Lord had saved them, right? How the Lord had brought them out of their generations of slavery in Egypt. Then we get to the New Testament with the Lord Jesus, and what we see him saying right out of the chute is that he didn't come to take everything in the Old Testament and chuck it out the window, but he came to fulfill every piece of that. John the Baptist said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, when Jesus was coming toward him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Jesus is a fulfillment of that celebration, right? Jesus is a fulfillment of the Passover. He was the final and the ultimate Lamb, right, that was sacrificed, the ultimate blood that was shed for you and I. And so he says here that when we do this, it's a fulfillment, it's a reminder of that celebration. And Jesus says for us to continue this celebration as a remembrance of our freedom, right? Every time we come and we take the Lord's Supper, Jesus tells us for you and I to let this be like a physical representation. It's a reminder of something. Now, I bet if I were to survey the audience, I bet every single one of us has something physical that you and I keep that's a kind of a reminder that every time we see it, it reminds us of a benchmark or something big that happened in our lives, right? So I have a lot of sports memorabilia I've collected through the years, and one of those is this baseball. Now, if I were to try to sell this baseball on eBay, it probably wouldn't even go for the value of what just a normal baseball costs. There's no autograph on there, right? I mean, I don't even know the player who was swinging the bat when this baseball was hit. But when I was a kid, I went to Birmingham Barons game with my dad, and we were sitting behind home plate underneath the net. And one of the batters for the Barons fouled the ball off and actually came through the net and bounced off the concrete, and my dad caught it. And he gave it to me, right? And so as a kid, like everything that happens at a game like that is just magnified, right? And so I've actually kept this ball, and I have it with some other autograph memorabilia that I keep in my office. But it's just kind of a reminder, right, of the fortunate opportunity I had to have a dad that, like, took me to things and invested in me and did some things with me, right? Now, for most of you, it wouldn't have any value at all. But for me, it's a physical reminder of a benchmark of something that happened in my life. I think in my house, if you were to come to my house and eat in my kitchen with my family, you can look and we have a sidewall next to our refrigerator and the door casing filled with people's Christmas cards every year. When those come in, we get the blue putty out, you know, and it's like playing Tetris on the side of the cabinet, you know, and we put all these pictures up here and we look at them through the year. And it's just kind of a fun thing, but one of the things I notice is that when you see those cards, most of them have pictures of things that all the families have done through the year, right? Maybe they had a kid that graduated. Maybe they had a kid that played in something epic, right? Maybe they went on a trip somewhere that they've never been before as a family, right? You know, it's all these things that they happen. And so you and I can relate to the fact that Jesus Jesus says, let's do something that when we see it and when we do it, we're reminded of a benchmark moment when we were saved. Right? Something that reminds us of that moment when Jesus set us free. When you and I were released from the captivity of our sin, and we were able to trust in Jesus Christ, and by His grace, we are set free. So we participate in the Lord's Supper because it's a time to remember. Notice what He says here in verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. In its essence, what you and I are doing tonight is proclaiming that we've been set free by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully, all of us, when we partake of this in a minute, can go back to that time and remember that time in our lives when we were set free. That's so cool. It's so cool to be reminded of that. Well, it's a time to remember. The second thing He says, though, is it's also a time to repent. It's a time to repent. Notice what He says here, starting in verse 27. He says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself then. So eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Notice what He says here in verse 28. He says, let a person examine himself. It's basic, right? To just examine ourselves is pretty basic. But that is in no way, shape, or form simple. You know, I don't know about you, but when I spend times and I ask the Holy Spirit to go digging, rarely do I enjoy what He finds, right? You know, when the psalmist said that, you know, to search my heart, you know, I think about the times that, like, Brother Al, maybe I was doing a spiritual evaluation, or maybe I'm spending some time with the Lord, or, you know, whatever it is. But when the Holy Spirit goes digging in my heart, I have to confess, right? Rarely is there a time that He doesn't come back with something or reveal something to me that is just really, really tough. You know, you ever been blindsided by the Holy Spirit? You know, you have that conversation with Him where you're like, man, if you could warn a brother next time, that'd be awesome, right? But that's what Paul says here, is that part of the Lord's Supper is not just remembering what Christ has done, but also examining ourselves and see, is there something that you and I have deep down in our heart, deep down in our lives, that we need to repent from and walk away from to come to the Lord's table, right? And I have to confess, right, it's super awkward, it is super difficult. But I believe with all my heart, I've said it to the youth for years, that I believe that every single one of us have these moments in life when we have to determine how much our integrity and how much our holiness is worth to us, right? I'll give you an example. I remember several years ago, we had a Lord's Supper service, and Brother Al was probably preaching out of this passage and preaching the same thing, and I was sitting right down here on the front row. I remember I had Howell on one side and Grady on the other. And He gave us a time to really, like, you know, reflect. And the Holy Spirit had been working on me all week long because I was harboring some issues in my heart that I really hadn't dealt with yet, right? I just kind of ignored it and swept it under the rug. But the Holy Spirit was bringing it to life. And the Holy Spirit said, Greg, if you really believe this, you don't need to take the Lord's Supper tonight, right? Because you haven't really dealt with what's going on in your heart, and you need to get that right before you come to the Lord's table. Well, you want to talk about an awkward moment. Hey, you know, here I am, right, you know, self-induced, you know, pride, sitting on the front row as a pastor. Like, what is that going to look like when one of the deacons goes to serve me the Lord's Supper in our pass? Like, what's it going to look like for the person that's, like, across the aisle or behind me that sees me just kind of pass the Lord's Supper, right? In that moment, I had to decide how much is my integrity and how much is my holiness worth to me, right? I mean, for me, at that time, that was a lot of self-induced pressure. But here's what I determined. I determined if that's what the Holy Spirit was laying on my heart, it was more important for me that night to obey the Holy Spirit than to care what any onlooker might possibly think. That's hard. That is super hard. It is super, super hard to put up a front and say you walk blameless before the Lord, right? But that's actually what Paul says. Here's what he says. He says, the proclamation, you know, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is a big deal, right? Like, the price he paid for my freedom and for your freedom is no small task. Therefore, the proclamation of that death, burial, and resurrection is a big deal, right? If I'm proclaiming that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for me, and he says, but I'm willing to harbor some issues in my heart and not get that right. Here's the strong word he says. You and I will eat and drink judgment on ourselves. Now, that's a Bible verse you don't see printed on a lot of pillows or blankets, is it? What's a scripture memory passage for camp this year, Brother Aaron? He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment on himself. Okay, I probably won't wear that one to school. You know, but it's right in there. Right after do this in remembrance of me is, but let's do it in a way that honors the Lord. Yeah. So as awkward as it is, as challenging as it is, as much as you and I probably don't really want to do it, the Bible says we should. Because when we come tonight to the Lord's table, it's not just a time to remember. Paul says it's also a time to repent. Now, there's an adversary out there who would love nothing more than for each one of us to not repent, right? He would love nothing more than for each one of us to try to hide our struggles, right? To try to hide our problems, to try to hide our repentance. Because the last thing he wants is you just laying bare before the Lord. I don't want that at all. You know, use a variety of factors in our lives. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a minute. Chad's going to come up and play a very basic but not simple instrument over there. And I ask him to just pray. We're just going to spend a few minutes. Because here's what I wonder. I wonder what would happen to the rest of this service if each one of us in here searched our heart. What if a couple people knew I needed to go to somebody else in this room and pray for them or ask their forgiveness? What would the rest of our service look like if we all just got real, real? You know, real before the Lord, real with each other. I believe in my heart, this service probably looked like something we may have never even experienced before. You know? Doggone, that's going to be hard. But what if some of us in this room just were feeling really convicted about something and we just kind of got on our face before the Lord and just laid it bare so we could come to the table and clean hands with pure heart, yeah. Well, let's just spend some time. I don't know what that is for you. It may be that all your sins are confessed. And either way, it could be a time to reflect and think about the Lord. But I'm going to ask Chad just to take a few minutes and just play, and let each one of us do what Paul says here. Let each person examine themselves, and then so to eat of the bread and drink the cup. Pray that each one of us would truly allow your Holy Spirit to search our hearts, not just this day, but every day. Lord, as we walk with you, that we would walk in holiness before you. So you know we pray. Amen. Lord's Supper, it's time to remember. It's a time to repent. But the last thing that we see is that it's a time for believers. It's a time for believers. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A few verses here. Verse 14. He says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as a sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is not a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread, we are one body, for we all partake in one bread. Look down in verse 21. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. One of the things that we see throughout Scripture is that the Lord's Supper is a time for believers. Notice the wording he uses here. He's writing to a local church. He talks about the participation with a cup of bread being the participation with Christ. You know, it's a confession of the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, that which we believe that Christ did and that which we believe that Christ did for us and that we've put our faith in. It's very important for us to realize that a Lord's Supper service like this, the attendance is open to all, right? We would hope that anybody would come to the Lord's house. house on the Lord's Day and worship with all of us. But the participation of the Lord's Supper is only open to believers, those of us who have expressed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. I tried to explain that to somebody one time, and he thought, you know, well, that's a little, you know, exclusive, a little, you know, closed off. And I guess the best way I can illustrate it would be this way. In a couple of weeks, a lot of different schools in our community will have graduation ceremonies, right? Let's say I go to Auburn High School's graduation ceremony. I have the freedom to attend that ceremony, right? But because I didn't graduate from Auburn High School, I don't have the freedom to participate. I can't just go put on a blue robe, you know, and a blue hat and walk across the, you know, the stage there and be like, what's up? You know, be like, I don't know who you are, right? You know, now nobody's going to go, oh, well, you guys are just closed-minded and exclusive. No. That's not how that is at all, right? Anybody who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ can partake in the Lord's Supper, right? So the attendance is open to all, but the participation tonight is just for the Lord's people. So in closing, we see that the Lord's Supper is a time. It's a time to remember. It's a time to repent. And it's a time for believers. Have a small video we're going to play to help us focus on the Lord's Supper. And then we'll